A special two-hour Your Money Matters. I'll explain again what's going on, but we'll start this program like we do every night with the numbers that matter. And natural gas prices likely going up. Nicor asking state regulators to charge about $7 more per month per customer. And Ameren wants $8 to $10 more per month. Regulators will decide what's acceptable. Price of gold up to $3,193 an ounce. Silver at $32.47. Those numbers sponsored by AmeriCash Jewelry and Coin, where you can buy and sell your precious metals at TopCashBuyer.com. Gas prices up a penny across Illinois. Mortgage rates at 7%. And those are the numbers that matter on Your Money Matters. It's a Wednesday. It is May 14th, 2025. And tonight, a spotlight on transit. This hour, and John Landecker kindly giving us an hour of his show to do this right. We're going to be playing you clips and offering some context on really what is probably, no, it is, the biggest issue facing state lawmakers this session, how to avoid a fiscal cliff staring down the RTA, which is the CTA, Pace, and Metra. Huge cuts in service are being touted. If there isn't a deal done by the end of the budget session happening in Springfield that wraps up on May 31st, and this show's on a Worker Wednesday sponsored by United Healthcare, quality health coverage for labor unions. We bring in Ed Maher, as always, on a Wednesday. He's the Associate Executive Director of the National Coalition of Labor, co-host of the Workers' Mic. And Ed, it's a special night. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, yeah. Happy to be here, John. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. We talked about the summit last week, and I hope you had good turnout. And we're going to get to put a megaphone on all you did here tonight.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, we definitely did have a great turnout. It was Monday afternoon down at the Operating Engineers 399 Hall down in Chinatown. And, we had a big crowd in their auditorium and, had a few panels. Listeners will get to hear a lot of it tonight. And I sure learned a lot. And I think there are probably a lot of folks listening who will as well, because this is a really, as you said, a huge issue facing the legislature this session.
The fiscal cliff comes for a myriad of reasons, including COVID dollars no longer going to be there. Service cuts are, maybe promised isn't the right word, but certainly that's the prognosis ahead if this doesn't happen by May 31st. I know they're rallying to try and get people to write their lawmakers about it. Who are we going to be hearing from? We're going to talk to you both this hour and next hour to set it all up, Ed. But the first two panels, just set up who we're going to be hearing from in a bit.
So in the first panel, we had a couple of state lawmakers. So we had Senator Rahm Villavalam. He's an Illinois state senator who's very active on this. We also have the Illinois AFL-CIO president. His name's Tim Dre. He represents a lot of the working people who actually perform work on all these lines. So it's 30 unions that represent the men and women who work on, RTA, CTA, Pace, Metra. And then also we'll have ATU, which is the Amalgamated Transit Union, President Local 308, Penny McCoach. So they're going to be talking initially in that first panel just about what the issue is, what the shortfall is. You'll hear numbers like the number that's bandied around is usually about $700 million. And that's to maintain the system that we have today. And throughout the panel, you'll hear from people who ride it, people who work on it, and lawmakers. And the consensus seems to be that there is an opportunity here to make it a better system, to fund it at a level where it can be modernized and actually attract people. Because in addition to the COVID dollars, part of the reason for this shortfall is that with remote work, ridership has decreased over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
It's ticking back up, but it's going to take a long time for it to kind of get back to normal. So that first panel will be those senators.
The second panel then we'll introduce a little bit later on. But and I just really quickly, before I let you go for this hour, we're going to hear your voice. Who are the other two folks from the Workers' Mic we're going to hear, just so we know all the voices?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Ken Edwards. He's the host of the Workers' Mic, and then Phil Davidson, also one of the hosts of the Workers' Mic. He's from the Carpenters Union.
And we'll hear from you too, Ed. All right, that's going to be coming up in just a moment. Ed, I'll talk to you in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll recap and kind of set up the next hour, okay?
Sounds great.
That's Ed Maher. All right, so the first panel will begin in just a moment.
You're listening to Your Money Matters as we put a spotlight on public transit in Illinois. Now, Here's John Hanson and Your Money Matters.
A two-hour special. We're about to get rolling on this thing. And the panel that was conducted on Monday, replaying throughout the show, adding some context, including I was looking up some fun facts about Metra, CTA, and PACE. And this isn't an official question of the day, but I thought I'd put it out there to see if anyone could guess the answer. You'll get a high five from me if you get it right. But Metra, founded in 1984, it has 11 lines, 242 stations, more than most U.S. commuter rail systems, 487 miles covered by Metra, over six counties. And can you name the oldest station? There's one station that's really darn old. 312-981-7200. The oldest station still in use by Metra today. I'm curious if anyone can guess the answer. 312-981-7200. If you want to chime in on the text line or on the phone line, we might be able to squeeze in a guess or two, and I'll reveal the answer. Don't worry, here before 6:30, I'll tell you about it. But let's go ahead and start with the panel number one. Again, you heard Ed talk about who would be on it. Ron Villavon, the state senator, Tim Dre from the Illinois AFL-CIO, and Penny McCoach from ATU Local 308 to talk about first the issue.
What's going on? Big picture, 30,000 foot view. Like, tell us what's happening with this issue.
Obviously, incredibly important issue. And in terms of how we got here, we have to go back 5 years. And it's hard to think about, but there was a global-wide pandemic. And through the course of that pandemic, we saw a decline in ridership, our public transit system. Remote work was always a phenomenon that was going to come at some point, but we saw it happen faster because of the pandemic.
And it wasn't just here in
across the nation,
Illinois. This was nationwide.
What occurred from there, though, is this acknowledgement that this cliff was going to come and that we needed to be prepared. And so the Illinois General Assembly acted. We engaged the CMAP, the Chicago Metropolitan Agency on Planning, to convene stakeholders, put together a report, and from there, there's been two pieces of legislation that were introduced, Senate Bill 5 and Senate Bill 1938, different approaches, but with the principle, both of them, that we will have some reforms and also move forward with sustained funding. And we've had 8 committee hearings of the Senate Transportation Committee, over 35 hours of testimony, and we are in the thick of it right now. There's a commitment by everyone, though. We want a safe, reliable, accessible, and integrated public transit system.
Well, we need it. It's not. I hate to say it, but it's not a want. It's a need.
That's right.
You had mentioned other states. Are you seeing are they doing things that we can learn from? I mean, we don't have to always reinvent the wheel here in Illinois. I think we do a decent amount of times, but we don't always.
Or other countries. There was a trip to Germany recently, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And so the advantage of if you want to call it that of every public transit system going through this situation is that we're not alone. We're able to talk to one another. The disadvantage is there's not a proof of concept necessarily on how best to do it in our nation. To your point, we went to Germany on a delegation trip. We learned a lot. We understood the importance of one fare, one timetable, one network. We understood the importance of frequency, the importance of safety. Those are all ambassadors. Those are all components that we brought back to our conversations here. And that's what we're really engaged in right now, right? We're looking at, for example, the creation of a transit ambassador program to make sure that there are people on the platforms, on the trains, on the buses to help the riders, help the workers with any issues that come up. And so there has been a lot of growth in terms of from where we started the conversation. But it is challenging because we're embarking on this mission at the same time that a lot of other public transit systems are. So we want to get this right, but we also know that we're going to have to continue to work on this for years to come.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're not going to just hit it out of the park and have, the fix is going to, happen overnight. It's going to be a work in progress, I'm assuming, right?
That's right. We're talking about a system that was created in the 70s, early 80s, and there was a certain mindset there, but we're trying to make it more integrated. That way the agencies are talking to one another. We have to remember that the rider isn't thinking about, am I riding CTA or PACE or Metra or RTA? They're thinking about getting to their doctor's appointment,
right.
Their school,
sure.
Their job, right? And so we want to make sure that the experience for the users, the riders, is as seamless as possible and as safe as possible.
Yeah. I think it's an important point, though, because there seems to be confusion just generally about RTA, CTA, PACE, Metro. Like, what does that umbrella look like? Does everything fall under RTA, just to sort of define the affected systems here?
Well, it's a great point, right? I mean, RTA is considered the financial oversight.
What does RTA stand for?
Regional Transit Authority.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that oversees...
It's seen as the financial oversight entity, right, over CTA, Metro, and PACE. I think the challenge that we've been having, right, is we want to ensure all these items that we care about, safety, reliability, accessibility, we want to ensure that they're occurring and they're occurring together. And what's happening to some degree, right, is, you know, we have service plans and capital plans and other plans created separately, and then we're expecting the conversation to happen at the RTA level, and it's not going the way we want it to, right? And we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We know that there's 30 different unions that work within CTA Metro PACE that have their own collective bargaining agreements, their own labor management contracts. We know that those workers understand how to deliver that local service and understand the safety challenges and all that. So we want to make sure that that's intact. However, we want to make sure that the agencies are talking to one another, and it's all coordinated. So that's our goal. That's our main goal, integration.
The deadline for the $770 million fiscal cliff is May 31st, right?
May 31st.
What happens if there's no deal by May 31st?
Well, there have been proposals put out that we would have a major, major cut in service. Only half the number of trains would run, and that's crazy. You know, 15,000 workers make sure 1 million people get back and forth to work and school and doctors every day. We cannot let them down. May 31st is so important. And, you know, it's irresponsible to put this off any longer than absolutely necessary. May 31st is the day we need to get this done with the money, with the reforms, and move on so that Chicago, a world-class city, has a world-class transportation system to get people to and from work every day safely. Safely. The Pope rode CTA safely.
Right.
Right. Good.
Amen.
Yes. I like to think about this, you know. Chicago, Pope
yeah.
won,
yeah.
everybody else zero. That's Workers' right. Rights Amendment, Chicago, Illinois yeah. won, everybody else zero. We started here in Illinois.
Yeah.
We invented the Pope.
That's right.
You're
that's
a great one of the conclave. Man for a while. Yeah.
That was Tim Dre saying, the Pope rode the CTA safely. Good line there, too. We'll continue this panel on the issue after the news. But by the way, a couple of people guessed the answer. The oldest Metro train station still in use? Nope, it's not LaGrange, not Downers Grove. It's Riverside. No one got it right, so I had to give you the answer. More little clues and tips and interesting facts coming up. But we'll take a break, then the news and more Your Money Matter Spotlight on Transit after this on WGN. John Hansen here on a very special Your Money Matters 2 hours as we're doing a spotlight on transit. Just joining us, some context here. The biggest issue facing state lawmakers right now, no doubt, is this fiscal cliff that is staring down the CTA PACE and Metra. So our good friends at the Workers Mics hosted a summit with a lot of leaders about this issue, and riders and other folks will be meeting throughout the next hour and a half. Our first panel is about the issue itself. Ram Villavalm as a state senator and Tim Dre as Illinois AFL-CIO were chatting a lot in the first part we played for you. But we're going to pick things up in this summit with Penny McCoach, who's ATU Local 308.
Penny McCoach, why don't you talk to us a little bit about the folks you represent and why this is such an urgent need for them as well.
I represent about 2,800 members that operate the rail system for the Chicago Transit Authority. And if this doesn't happen by May 31st, I have probably about 3,000 to 4,000 workers that may be laid off. I have routes that may be cut.
Right.
And that's very detrimental to my membership.
Is legislature looking for givebacks? Are they looking for concessions from the unions? Like
they have not asked anything far as givebacks.
Okay.
About that, no. Basically, we want just to do the reforms. We're for reforms. We're for safety. We're for having a seamless system. But we want the money that comes with all of that.
For sure.
Absolutely.
It's a system that not only your members and the other unions who help support the system rely upon, but, I mean, as somebody said, a million workers every day have to get to work. And these are folks who maybe don't take transit by choice, but that's their mode of transportation. Without it, they don't get to work. So maintaining the accessibility of the system, as you said, Senator, I think is really important for everybody out there to remember, because there are folks who work second shift, third shift, and they need to have access to transit where they're not standing on a platform in the middle of the night for 45 minutes waiting for a train to come. We're looking for a system that's not diminished in any way.
Senator, what's the holdup?
Well, let me first start by saying, you know, we want to make sure that we're not just looking at the number that we've heard most consistently, 770 million, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're told by the agencies. That's what gets us the service we have today, which is good. It could be a lot better.
Sure.
So I think there's agreement from organized labor to urban planning groups and environmental groups and business and even the agencies that $1.5 billion gets us not just a system for tomorrow or next year or fills a gap, but the system that we need for the next several decades, right? And we have to also be creative and analyze how transit has changed, right? Where it used to be, and for decades, it was all centered on downtown. Now there's more neighborhood transit. People want to get from North Mayfair, Albany Park, Saugonash to Wrigley Field in a very fast, safe, seamless way, right? So we have to acknowledge all of that, and it takes more funding. And I always say, you know, we don't get anything we don't ask for, right? It's not every day we get a request for $1.5 billion in operational funding through our operational budget. And the reality is we need to be asking for that system of the future.
Sure.
And it has to be rooted in what our workers are seeing on the ground and all of the shared attributes we have of safety, reliability, accessibility. But again, back to your question, what's the holdup is we're trying to a massive reform to change the way that we've been doing public transit for the last 50 years.
How much does reduced ridership account for the fiscal cliff? And I know that we have a low fare box ratio, right, compared to other states. And so is that part of the solutions potentially is to increase, you know, the state's investment so it's not so reliant on riders?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we want to look, going back to how it's done internationally, there isn't this, you know, rigid concept of a fare box recovery ratio requirement. It has reduced, so it's gone from 50% to, I think, 23%. So we want to make sure, at the end of the day, right, this isn't a privatized situation. We want to make sure that the workers that work in these systems are able to continue and that we have this public good. In order to do that, we're going to have to work with them on the fare box recovery ratio. But we also want to hold the agencies accountable. But it is challenging to get them back up to 50%. So there is that balance, but we are absolutely going to reduce the fare box recovery ratio while we explore more ways to get more ridership.
Yeah, Phil, ridership has not gotten back to pre-pandemic levels. Right. It's building very, very slowly to get back up there, but it still has a ways to go. But a lot of that is if we had a reformed, safe transit system, more people would ride, more comfortable, you know, ambassadors to help people and a strong police force to make sure not only the workers are safe, but the passengers are safe. Those things like that and these reforms that we're talking about in Springfield will bring ridership back.
It is our responsibility, morally and otherwise, to make sure doesn't feel the heartburn of not knowing if they're going to have a job, doesn't feel the heartburn and have to answer the question from their daughter or son to say, hey, can I buy these back-to-school supplies?
Right.
The answer should be unequivocally yes,
of course,
because they know they
absolutely
have a job.
What can our listeners and what can the riders and people that are, you know, just interested in, or what can they do? Is there a QR code? Is there a number they can call?
UnitedWeMoveIL.org.
UnitedWeMoveIL.org. Very good.
Everything you need to know.
You can go there now to find out a little bit more about the issue. By the way, you heard them talking about that fare box recovery ratio. Basically, RTA is required by law to make sure that half of the money needed to run the transit systems come from the fares people pay. That was suspended during the COVID-19 impact and actually extended through this year as well. Okay, so that's the broader issue. After traffic, weather, and a break, we're going to be hearing from some riders about their experiences as we spotlight on transit today. Continuing our spotlight on transit and the fiscal cliff facing the RTA coming up soon, we heard about the issue in panel one, and now we focus on the riders here on 720 WGN with our friends at the Workers' Mic hosting.
Okay, for our next group, we want to welcome folks who ride the system and rely upon it to get to and from work. For that, we've got Carrie Lee Patterson, Anne Marie Moore, Sarah Chappie, and Marcus Buell. Kind of just from here on down the line, tell us a little bit about your relationship to transit and, you know, what you use it for on a daily basis and what that means to you.
I'm Carrie Lee. Hi. I am an actor and a director in Chicago. I'm here representing two of my four unions, I believe, Actors Equity Association and SAG-AFTRA. And I use it certainly to get to work. I don't have one set commute. That's perhaps what makes me a little different. I work at various theaters throughout Chicago and the suburbs, and of course, film sets wherever they might be that day. And I need to get to all of those at various times of the day. And then I also use it, I just want to mention this, to find work. I have to go to auditions at all these places as right. well. And that's something that is very true of not only my business, but definitely of theater artists, is even when we are working, we are still looking for the next job.
My name is Marcus Buell, and I'm a housekeeper at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. And I've been there 15 years, and I do commute via CTA, the number 3 cane drive to work. And it's essential for me because parking down there, I don't have to inform you, is overpriced.
Right.
And yeah. it provides me with more things to do when I'm not at work.
And we talked before we started. You work on the second shift, right?
Yes, I do work on the second shift.
What time is that?
3 to 11:30. It's essential to me that we get this thing straightened out.
Yeah, are you worried? Like, you know, you said 3 to 11, right? So you're going home at 11, like 11:30, whatever time you get on the train.
Right.
It's got to be. Is the train empty?
No.
So there are people.
There's a lot of people that down in the area that work second shift.
Excellent. No crime or like, how's the crime been?
The crime isn't bad, but you're always on your toes because it is currently happening.
The more people who use it, the safer the train's going to be. So
right.
We've got to keep it regular, keep it full of people, and that benefits everybody. So, Sarah, how about you?
I came here as a teenager to go into culinary arts, and I have been at a hotel in the South Loop for about 15 years as a Local 1 member, and I work third shift. And
you work third okay. shift?
Third shift, so oh. I just started a couple months ago.
What's third shift?
6 p.m. to 2:30 a.m.
Oof.
Very fun.
And so you take the train to and fro?
Going to work, I'm sometimes able to take like one of the buses from the north side to the south side, but coming home, I would have to take the red line. And then Saturdays are my cheat days for Uber because I'm so scared.
Because you're scared?
Yeah.
Of what? Crime?
Like, yep.
Is that right? So that's it.
And also service, because sometimes on the weekends it's cut and sometimes I have to wait 20, 30 minutes for a train.
Anne-Marie, how about you?
Hi there, Anne-Marie Moore. I am a flight attendant. I fly out of Chicago's Midway Airport. I'm with Transport Workers Union Local 556. Mm-hmm. I typically try and fly in the morning. It's important that we keep this. I mean, I don't have a car, so the Orange Line is my way to get to work. There's times I'm up there at 4 in the morning, and I'm almost the only one up there, and it's not a safe place to be either for a female alone with luggage. Then if the train's supposed to show up, it doesn't show up. Now I'm scrambling to try and find a way to work. And if that first flight of the day goes out delayed, that impacts hundreds and hundreds of people in the entire system.
Yeah, all down the line.
All
it,
down
has,
the line.
It has that ripple effect,
yeah,
right?
It's domino
are
effect.
You, how senior are you?
I'm 19 years, so it depends so not, on who you talk to.
You're not on reserve anymore.
Not on reserve. No, okay, you're familiar
right,
with it.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
But if you had to be, and let, you know, for those listening, explain what reserve is for a flight attendant.
Reserve is on call.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Like all four of you basically work in industries that are 24/7.
So, Marcus, what would your work lives, your transportation lives look like if the system, the budget was cut? They didn't get the funding and they had to reduce the availability of these various systems. What would that do to you on a day-to-day basis?
initially, it would mess up the times, the things that I can do on my day off, because I would have to divvy into my pocket and pay for that extremely expensive parking.
That's for sure.
That's downtown.
I would have to move somewhere else.
You're right.
You'd have to go someplace else.
I have a disability. I no longer drive at all.
Okay.
Though I never really did in the city, because I really love public transportation. I think sometimes that people who either grow up entirely without it and don't understand how great it is, think that it's not important. And I think people who grew up always having it don't understand what it is to live without it. And I grew up where there was nothing like it. And you couldn't get anywhere if you didn't have money or weren't old enough to have a driver's license, and there was nothing to do where you were, so you just got in trouble. That's part true. Of the reason I moved here was because it was a place where I could get work in my business, and it had excellent public transportation, and I can't imagine life without it.
You know, you said, I think all of you have said the, basically the same thing, and that is, you know, we come from the perspective here in Chicagoland, or you live in a city, of having that luxury, and I consider it a luxury to be able to walk down the block, get on a train, not have to drive, park, expensive, etc., because it really does open your world. That's the concept of living in a city, is that's one of the perks of it, right? What did we say? There's 30 unions?
Right.
30.
Yeah.
30 unions in mass transit here in the state of Illinois, right?
Right, in the organization that's pushing for this reform and this funding, yeah, 30 unions.
But it also affects construction,
right? No question about it.
Right, yeah. I mean, because we build, right?
Yeah, I mean, building transit systems is a huge undertaking.
What changes would you like to see? I mean, you would know better than anyone of, like, what would improve your experience taking CTA?
Just some reliability and safety. Those are my two biggest concerns.
Yeah.
I mean, cause, same.
Yeah, same thing. That, like I said, at those early mornings up there at that Roosevelt stop, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but it's not a place you really want to hang out for an
for
extended
sure.
long.
That's pretty much consistent with your timetable and increasing security.
Yeah. I would like less ghost buses and less ghost trains.
Yes.
Why don't you tell the listeners what all the right. ghost buses and ghost trains are.
Go ahead. Not Ghostbusters, ghost buses.
Ghost buses.
It's when the bus passes.
Explain
you,
that.
You see the bus, you following the bus tracker, and you're like, oh, my next bus comes in 2 minutes. And like 15 minutes later, you're like, there's no bus.
No bus.
That's called a ghost bus.
Ghost bus. Yes.
So it happens frequently enough that there's a slang term that everybody realizes. Right? So clearly it's happening
too much.
It was
terrible during COVID.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure.
We are all riders. There are, of course, so many more riders out there, all different kinds of people. And as a rider, I would just like to say a thank you to everyone who provides this excellent service, because...
Yes, thank you to all of you.
We know you're there. The CTA driver that waits that extra second for me with my cane to get on, off and on.
Sure.
We know, we see the bus drivers dealing with people. You know, you deal with every part of humanity with grace and professionalism. I don't know how you do that. I know that people are keeping the physical train safe. They're keeping the track safe. And thank you for the reason that every time I have a friend from New York visit me who normally rides a subway, they say, how are the trains so clean here?
That's for sure.
Right.
All right, that's some of the riders talking about what their issues is and what they want to see happen in the future of transit in our Chicagoland area. Your Money Matters is going to roll on a special spotlight on transit into the next hour. We'll be meeting the workers behind the scenes. We'll do that after this break and news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
You're listening to Your Money Matters. Take a ride with us through the world of public transit in Illinois. Here's John Hansen with on Your Money Matters.
Didn't mean to cut off David Jennings there. Thank you for the intro, my friend. And yeah, you normally hear John Landecker right now, but it's a special night for Your Money Matters and the team behind the workers, Mike, who hosted a summit on Monday, bringing together a lot of people to talk about transit in our area. It's a huge issue. Ed Maher joining us here again at the top of this hour. And Ed, what inspired you guys to gather all these folks together to chat through this huge fiscal cliff that's coming our way?
You know, on our show, we talk to workers of, you know, various backgrounds, whether it's construction or service industry or, you know, a number of others. And this was an issue that was important to everyone because of construction of the system and maintenance of the system and the folks who, you know, work on the trains and buses and things like that. So it just seemed to be something that impacted everyone. And the fiscal cliff, I mean, there's an end date on this thing at the end of the month. So there was urgency, and we wanted to just find out more and hear from everyone.
And we have been hearing from a lot of folks in the first hour. We kind of set up the issue with the stakeholders. And then I really liked the conversation with the riders, just to hear those experiences that people have. Boy, safety and reliability, those were the words that came up over and over again, Ed.
Yeah, and you really feel the connection they have. I mean, they like the system, and, I mean, most importantly, they really need and rely on the system.
Yeah, and they really, I loved the end of it. Look, for all its faults, and there certainly are some, they love the workers of the CTA or PACE or Metra, which doesn't surprise me, Ed. We did stories at Block Club Chicago. We've done a couple of them where people, if they know their Brown Line driver or the rider of the train or the person that does the turnstiles at one of the CTA stops, if one of them retires, the neighborhood always like throws them a party because they've gotten to know them for so many years. Everyday riders know the faces that run these transit systems and like them. And I think that there's a collective will of everyone to try and get this right.
Yeah, they're a part of the community. And in the next segment, we're going to hear from some of the folks who work on the system, and you'll be able to hear more about how that is, you know, something they take to work with them every day. And it's an important piece of their job is, you know, to be a valuable part of the community.
Well, you led into it perfectly, Ed. Thanks for setting this up again. We'll talk soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, John.
Oh, and the workers' mic Sunday at 8. I'm sure they'll talk more about everything that happened on Monday. But as you heard Mr. Ed Maher say, we're going to now hear from some of those said workers behind the scenes.
We are going to now talk about some of the workers behind the scenes. So we have Tanya Harper. Who do you work for?
I'm the local 308. I'm actually a rail janitor. So I actually go from station to station and clean platforms.
And that's for the CTA, correct?
For the CTA.
Tiffany, you're also ATU Local 241?
Yes.
And what do you do?
I'm a bus operator.
How long have you guys both been doing this?
13 years for me.
Okay.
7 for me.
7 for you. Mm-hmm. And then we have Orlando, right? I got that? Orlando Rojas?
Correct.
You're smart, right? Smart TD. I'm not saying you're smart.
Well,
you are smart.
Very smart.
But what is smart TD? What's TD?
The Transportation Division of Smart.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
We're the T in smart.
What is it, a local?
653.
653, gotcha. Yes. And you work for Metra?
Correct.
Conductor?
A train conductor.
How long have you been doing it?
21 years.
Wow, long time. And then we have an Interna. Am I saying that right?
Interna
Williams, right? And you're a PACE paratransit for the great Teamsters Local 727, correct?
Yes, sir.
How long have you been doing it?
I've been a driver for SCR for 10 years now.
Oh, you work for SCR?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, you guys just had your little battle, did you not?
And we won.
Hell yeah,
right.
You won. Hell yeah. That's what I like to hear. That's right, you did. Because you guys are all in good, solid, strong unions, right?
Yes.
And that's the name
Absolutely.
Of the game. Talk about what's it like behind the scenes.
I'm the rail janitor, so okay. We deal with the first contact of people. So it's mental illness, people development challenge, passengers who are ill, passengers who are sick on the train. So anything could happen.
Okay. And so somebody gets sick on the train, like you're the first line of conduct, you'll see them, and then you'll contact whoever needs to get
right.
contacted.
And then I clean up behind whoever you're sick.
So you've got a vested interest in sort of improving the mental health and access
and
to
safety,
health.
The safety, yes.
Right.
The safety.
Tell us about your situation.
I enjoy what I do.
You do.
But it is challenging at times. We have different people at every stop. So I may be on one end of town and deal with people who are more common, or
sure.
I may be on the other end where I'm dealing with people who have more challenges. So it's just being able to multitask and also be safe. And we also want to have, you know, safety for ourselves while we're out there. But just maintaining, you know, being safe out there, that's the main
thing.
So
let me ask you this. I've always wondered this, right? So you're driving the bus.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only employee on that bus.
Yes.
So there's nobody watching your back.
Yeah. No.
Literally.
No.
And so what do you do? Like, do you have a call button?
Well, we do have a call button for emergency purposes.
Yep.
My major call button is prayer.
Well, guess what? So you now have the Pope on your side.
You've got
a direct line to God.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Are you seeing a lot less riders than when you first started?
Yeah, because when the pandemic, the buses were full, but we had more buses, so it was a little easier.
Sure.
But then during the pandemic, it seems like it scrambled everything up.
Yep.
So now we're just trying to get back to some type of normalcy.
And Orlando, what about you? What's your job like?
You know, the same thing. Everything could be a little bit different. You know, we deal with the entire kind of socioeconomic spectrum.
Where's your route?
The Rock Island line mostly. Island, Southwest, and Heritage lines.
Okay.
And then I started off on the Milwaukee lines, which go to Elgin and Fox Lake. So
yep.
We deal with everybody and in different states, either mental or sobriety during sporting events.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He looked right at you.
You look familiar.
Phil, he recognizes me.
But the whole time you have to keep that level of professionalism and customer service, and the less that the other passengers see or notice, the better. You know, we're doing our job, and so I know security is a thing, and on our lines, Metro's had a hard time hiring more police officers, so we often kind of fill that gap sometimes, more than we would like to sometimes, but looking out for our passengers, for ourselves, for our coworkers, we sometimes have to step up to fill that gap.
And Metro has its own police force, correct?
Correct.
And you said they have a hard time filling those spots right now?
Well, I think that, you know, policing in general.
Yeah, for sure.
And then everyone's kind of pulling from the same pool of workers.
No question about it.
So I know Metro wants to get up to about 140, I think, and they're around 110, just over 100.
Yeah.
But even that's probably low. They'd like to have more.
Like not enough.
Yeah. Right? That can't cover all the trains. Yeah.
How could it be? No. You know? Turner, what about you? You're a paratransit?
Yes, I'm a paratransit driver. SCR is a 24/7 operation, so we are picking up clients that's door-to-door.
Yeah.
We're taking them door-to-door. They rely on us to help them get in to all these different places. As far as hospitals, we pick up dialysis patients. And
do you do elderly as well?
Elderly babies
disabled,
babies,
right?
Who are born with different disabilities.
Yeah.
We pick them up and get them to their appointments or to daycare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that makes sense.
We do adult daycare. We take some of our clients who have mental disabilities to workshops where they help packaging for different companies.
Oh, no way. Okay.
Yeah.
And but you're, once again, like, you're the only person on that bus, correct?
I'm the only person on that bus.
You're it.
And the only thing we have is a radio.
So you don't even have a call button?
No, we don't have a call.
You have the
put that on the list for the funding.
Yes. Right. We have a radio that works probably 60% of the time.
Radio that works 60% of the time. Interesting hearing from the workers behind the scenes and what they're dealing with. And we'll continue to do so on a special two-hour edition of Your Money Matters, a summit about the future and the spotlight on transit. John Hanton here, more on our two-hour Your Money Matters, a spotlight on transit, and more from the workers in our transit system.
We talked a lot about people who rely on these systems, but what you're talking about is folks who couldn't get to a stop. So what you do is, I mean, it's an extremely valuable service. I mean, as all of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
And I mean, to echo something that came up in the last panel as well as the first, Senator Villavalam referred to this system as a public service, the entire system, and that's exactly what it is. And you hear the riders talking about, the folks who go to work and their friendly faces, and they give her an extra minute to get on the bus with her cane or get on the train with her cane. You have jobs where a lot of folks might not be used to that sort of unpredictability day to day. And you face that, but you do it with a smile, and you treat these folks like neighbors, and you're part of the community, and you treat them like part of the community. So, you know, I just want to recognize you and everybody who works in the system for that.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So what are you like? So you heard obviously that we're, and I'm sure you live this every day, that, you know, there's this fiscal cliff going on.
Yes.
You know, are you guys worried for yourselves, for your families, for your coworkers?
Yeah. Yeah. What are your coworkers saying?
Yeah. Like, what are the
talk?
What's the talk out
so
there?
So the talk, where I am, is mainly just worried about if we're going to still have our jobs, if we're going to be laid off, if we're going to be in a situation where we can't take care of our families. That's right. The main thing.
Right.
It's people that's just starting out in this, and they worried about how far are they going to be able to move into the company. So, yes, it's a lot of that going on.
Orlando.
You know, to piggyback off of that, during COVID, we were in a similar situation before, right? When the lockdowns came, you know, we got a letter that basically said, look, like Metro and the transit agencies, the taxes that they get are from like 3 months ago. So we're going to be able to float for about another month. Mm-hmm. And unless the federal government or someone picks up the tab, like, we know we can get you through another month, and then all bets are off. Like, we don't know. So, I mean, people have felt this before, you know, not knowing. We were out there during the pandemic. We didn't know what COVID was. We were out there on the front lines every day, you know, bringing other essential workers back.
You make a really good point. And, you know, everybody has a short memory, right? But remember when COVID first started, right? You were, like, wiping down your groceries,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We just didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. You're driving a packed train, you know what I mean? Like, you're the only way for people to get to work.
What does it mean to you all about your jobs that really people depend on you to get to work, to get to school, to go see the provider? Does that, you know, do you take extra pride in that? That, I mean, that without you,
we depend on the service ourselves.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You use yourselves, but also the public good you're providing. You know, what does that mean to you? You know, that's your job.
Well, we have a lot of clients who are regulars, and we know the person who has to go to dialysis. We know the person who has a disability who just got a job. So we say, hey, this train is coming. It's going to be here.
Right.
You okay? Calm down. It will come. So we need the service. When COVID happened, we saw a difference in their behavior. They couldn't go to work. They wanted to go to work. Yeah. They couldn't go to school. We need that. First day of school, everyone rides free. Everyone needs that. Yeah. That train is jam-packed all day long.
Because it's passengers that are nervous about what's going to happen as well. Because their lives depend on us being there. So, like they were saying on the last panel, how they're waiting so long for the buses. They don't want to go through that again. So everyone's on edge trying to figure out how this is going to go.
We don't realize how big of an impact transit is and how many lives and aspects of life it actually touches. I mean, you think about if you didn't have transit, it stresses all the other infrastructure, the parking. And so if there's a high demand for parking, what's that going to do to the price? That's going to go up, you know, people paying more and more for the available spots left, you know, the roads, you know, the potholes we have now, you know, that's that many more cars hitting those potholes where, you know, the streets, the bridges, more wear and tear that lasts less and less. I mean, it affects everything and everybody, whether you use transit directly or not.
Oh, there's no question about it. You make a great point. Listen, whether you're an everyday rider, whether you never, ever use public transportation, you know, our lives are affected by that, you know, especially here in the city of Chicago.
We also have the people up here. I mean, we're sitting in a house of labor, right? That story there, like the money that we earn, right? I don't want to say that we make, that we earn. Mm-hmm. We take that back to our communities. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about everyone up here, but most of my money gets spent. You know, I got a lot of people helping me spend that money, my kids and stuff. So, I mean, that money goes back into the community.
No, you're right. I mean, look, it's a great point. Here in Chicagoland, in the state of Illinois, we're strong union state. All the jobs that we're talking about here today, all of your jobs are unionized, right?
Absolutely.
They're all union jobs, right? And you have a say, you have a seat at the table, and you make good money, you make benefits, but you're 110% correct. That money goes back, and you spend it locally in the communities.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right? So where do you all live? You all live in the city?
Yes.
I live on the east side of Chicago,
Yeah.
Right, I live in the Inglewood area.
Okay.
But we definitely depend on transportation.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. What is the ambassador thing that they were talking about? That would just be people that are like on the tracks?
No, actually it would be the person that would greet you to get on the train.
I got
you. Assist you. Okay. To make it more full-time jobs instead of part-time.
So there are part-time ambassadors right now?
No. We have part-time employees who want to be full-time ambassadors.
Got it. That makes sense.
It's terrible that we're in this situation. I mean, it was kind of, we were heading in that direction anyway. COVID actually, you know, exacerbated, accelerated everything. But, you know, as hard as this situation is, it's also an opportunity. So the RTA Act has been in effect for 50 years.
Yes.
Right? We're in a once in a generation, once in a lifetime. If whatever we end up with is around for another 50 years, most of us will be not on the panel. We'll just say that. But aside from the cliff that we're facing, we're also facing an opportunity. And if done correctly, we can give the people of Chicago, of the metro area, of the state of Illinois, the transit that they deserve. We do have an opportunity. It's going to take funding. It's going to take a lot of hard decisions to be made. Yes. But we have the opportunity before us.
An opportunity before us. Lots of people chatting about that at the summit. Interesting stuff there for sure. Okay, those are some of the workers in the next half hour on our spec talking about the community impact that transit provides our area. A special two-hour Your Money Matters will continue after the news here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, it's John Hansen here on a special Your Money Matters, a two-hour edition. Normally you hear Mr. John Landecker during this time. Graciously gave us a little extra time for this Spotlight on Transit, a summit that was hosted by the Workers' Mics folks, talking about all sorts of things in our transit system. As some of you, I didn't know this, but Metra has over 1,100 miles of rails and nearly 900 bridges they've got to run. The CTA, 224 miles of track, over 8 lines and 145 stations. CTA's bus routes are 1,300 miles, over 10,000 bus stops across the area. And PACE serves a population of more than 5 million people in the PACE service area. Suffice to say, there's a large community impact on transit, and this fiscal cliff could be a big deal. So in this fourth panel this half hour, we're going to hear from Marcus C. Evans. He's a state rep. Bob Ryder from the Chicago Federation of Labor. Mark Polis from IIFFCIOIUOE Local 150. And Keith Hill, ATU Local 241. And of course, our hosts.
We're here to talk about the impact of this on the community and really the failure to get this done at a community level. So, I mean, Mark, do you want to maybe start here at identifying the problem and sort of what's at stake?
Here to talk about public transportation and its impact on Chicago and the entire state of Illinois, and quite honestly, the region. And we've got a looming problem that needs to be solved by May 31st. You know, you've heard some talk in the headlines that this is something that maybe we could talk about this calendar year. We would suggest otherwise. This is a looming problem for ridership. It's a looming problem for workers. You know, we can't continue to just have this conversation. We've got to act. And quite honestly, in Springfield time, 3 weeks in my world is like an eternity.
Yes.
Especially the last 3 weeks of session is like an eternity. So there are great leaps and bounds that can be achieved in Springfield if everyone is marching in the same direction.
Is everybody marching in the same direction? Are you seeing people on both sides of the aisle taking this as serious as they should be?
I don't think so. Okay. And I think that's why the work needs to be done. I think people have accepted marginal, low-quality transit. What we're dealing with now is not a good enough transit system. But the problem is we've been fed the mush so long. ATU workers are not protected. The trains are not clean enough. Deferred maintenance is going on. We've been dealing with this so long that we don't see it as an issue. And part of what we're doing is identifying the problem. Again, it's a problem. We should have a world-class transit system. We don't have that. And some people are saying, well, let's just keep what we have. You know, let's keep the marginal transit.
And when you say some people, or who's some people?
I think it's everybody. It's my next door neighbors, all of us who've accepted what we have. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? It's all of us are the problem. And what we got to do that understood, we've seen the light. We're saying, man, we can have transit police. We can have ambassadors. ATU people don't got to be arguing on the train with homeless people. We can give homeless people services, right? We can have a clean transit system. We should have double the amount of people on the train.
Right.
Whenever I'm on the train by myself, I'm like, why the hell ain't nobody else on this train?
Right.
You know, these are questions that we can solve, but we first have to believe we can solve the problem. And that's the issue. We've accepted that this is the Chicago Transit way. And what some of us are saying is that this panel is, no, it could be a much better way. Let's demand that way.
Yeah, I mean, look at it more as not as much a need, but an opportunity. If the city's doing as well as it is with business development, with what we have, imagine what we could be doing.
You think about, you know, they talk about the business downtown. You want to get more people downtown from the south side, west side? Let's make the transit system better.
Absolutely.
You want to get the traffic flow? Let's make the transit system better. You want to build more housing? Let's make the transit system better. Everything points to the transit system.
You know, it's interesting, like when they continue to build O'Hare. Right, it was like they just built another access point, build some more runways, another access point, and they put the money into it, right? Yeah. And it's still, you know, they're still building, but it was the same concept, and it's beautiful.
O'Hare's a great point. O'Hare, actually, there's more ways to get out of O'Hare that you can connect to transit than we currently have. There's dedicated rail
coming out of the south of O'Hare that can weave its way downtown to make it to the museum campus. We can unlock opportunities like that for the metro side of things and improve things on the CTA side. See, we have the framework for a great transportation system to build on. Mm-hmm. So what we could do is have this investment in transit and make more connectivity from the north side to the south side, connecting, figure out a way to do bus rapid transit the way it's always been intended, so we can connect red line, brown line type of access all the way down to the green line, orange line, and give that similar experience that people have on the L on the bus, and yeah, connect people for jobs from like the Englewood neighborhood all the way up to the industrial corridor that we have on the northwest side, where, you know, historic companies like Radio Flyer and all that had their businesses. Connect the workforce there without having to run them through the central business district, right?
Yep.
And not stick people on buses where there's a lot of intermediary stops.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible opportunity to invest in. And we're also looking at potential public works projects like we've never seen before for people in the construction side. Right now, we have places where the Metra, the CTA cross,
yes,
where we don't have a station.
That's nuts.
Yeah. No, multiple places.
How I-94 and 57 used to intersect, but there were no ramps to get
our whole life we used.
Yeah. We have to look at how we fund transit in a way that's more logical, where we're not, and also not eat ourselves on operation funding versus capital funding. All we have to do is set up specific lanes. You know, folks like Mark Polis think about this a lot. Like, how do we, Keith Hill, set up lanes where we can get operational funding and capital funding? You have to have both.
Yeah.
You have to have both. I mean, and the people operating the trains and the buses, they want good infrastructure, and they also want to be paid. Marcus Evans will tell you that the workers need to get paid, right?
Well, of course. But remember, y'all, it's something you're missing. Before operational and all these technical government terms, we have to decide in Chicago what we're looking for. Nobody complains about the cost of concrete at the airport, right? Nobody's complaining about the roads. What is the transit system in Chicago? It's something that's used by poor people. It's something that's used by a class of individuals, right? When I'm in New York City, I'm next to a gang member, a stockbroker, and a teacher, right? And the author, right? When I'm in Chicago, you don't really see the bougie of Chicago getting on the train, right? Maybe to go to a Cubs game once in a while. But for the most part, the day-to-day usage is not that. How do we get middle-class people on the train? It got to be clean. It got to be safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have to drive people on the train. This ain't rocket science. It just hasn't been a priority.
And we used to do that. Everybody used to ride the CTA the same way that they would ride the Metra.
Yes.
I mean, one of the great things about Chicago is that we're a place that can offer great education, but the people trying to access that education are living on a budget. Whether you're a CPS kid whose mom's putting you on a CTA bus to get to school because you're going to school across town, or someone who's going to UIC or one of our other, or city colleges, right? It's people who depend on public transportation. They're the base of it, but you can draw more people in, as Marcus is saying. And that was the experience that people had before that we've lost.
Keith, I'm so sorry that you had to sit on a panel with Bob Ryder. So maybe let's hear from the president of one of the locals. Tell us your thoughts on what's going on.
My thoughts is a mixture of what everybody said, especially Leader Evans. Me personally, I drove Madison for 15 years. Yeah. I picked up the richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor. So that was 15 years ago. You fast forward to today, it's not like that. And you got to ask yourself why. First of all, you got to back up and ask yourself, why is one part, one of the main components of the economic engine in the state begging for money to survive? That is the number one question. Where's the governor? You're trying to move a city, you're going to move a country.
Yes.
I think you need to focus on the city to help you get the country. That's just me talking. This component is the major component of this whole state. When somebody take transit, y'all put it up there. For every $1, it's $3.16 spent.
Right on. Right.
That's money that's going into the state's budget.
For sure.
So if you want to reduce 40% of that, that's hurting.
So no, it's a race to the bottom. You're 110% right. If you made it easy, like you guys have all said, to fly into O'Hare, to fly into Midway, you know, and get on public transportation and go downtown and not have to worry about paying $50 a night for parking or whatever it is at the hotel, and you just get down there, well, guess what? You're spending money. It's like, hey, Chicago's a place that I want to come to, right? I want to come visit Chicago. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that money then goes back into the community. And look, we want tourists here, right? We want people coming to McCormick, you know? We want people coming and using all our facilities. And it's not just the city, obviously. If you go out in Galena and the States, et cetera, there are beautiful places in and around Illinois. But if you don't have a car, you're hard-pressed to get to some of these places.
Yeah. And the issue we're here to talk about is money. Yes. And you can consider it a cost, or you can consider it, as Bob said, an investment. Because if companies are going to locate to Chicago or the metropolitan area, they want to have access to educated people, skilled people. Those people have to be able to get to work. So an efficient transit system is so important.
Well put, Ed. And we talk about that a lot on the show, the ripple effect of economic investment into whether it's transit or other sorts of big community projects and what it has to do. Especially, yeah, they mentioned tourists coming to Chicago. You want them to get to Chicago, make it easy to get there from the airports, etc. It's an interesting conversation. We're not done quite yet. We're going to chat more about the community impact of transit on this special two-hour Your Money Matters, our spotlight on transit.
You're tuned into Your Money Matters. Today, we're shining a light on public transit in Illinois. Let's join John Hansen with more on Your Money Matters.
From Monday's summit with the folks at the Workers' Mic, continuing our conversation about the community impact that transit has with Marcus C. Evans, who's a state rep, Mark Polis from the IIFFSC. I added too many letters there. These acronyms are so long for these unions. Keith Hill, ATU Local 241. But we start with Bob Ryder.
I'm done with people telling me how much they pay to live in Illinois, because we have the best hospitals. We have the best public infrastructure, right? People are like, oh, I want to go to Tennessee, or I want to go to Alabama or Arkansas. Go there. Seriously, no, go there. Because if you go there, you're going to get what you
pay for.
What you pay for, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to live here because of what the infrastructure of this city provides. Yeah. And if people move to places like that and they want this infrastructure, they're going to have to figure it out and pay for it. Illinois is a net, if on the federal level, we're a net exporter of wealth.
Of course we
so
are.
We are to the extent that those states have public infrastructure, we're already paying for it.
Are we getting our fair share of everybody paying into that pot of money? You talked about we're about to spend $80 billion, right?
Yeah.
Are the billionaires paying their fair share? Are the corporations paying their fair share? The Amazons of the world, the Starbucks, et cetera, are they paying their fair share?
But I think it's analysis to say they're not. And that's why some of them love to be here. They talk all this talk about Illinois, but there's no flight of rich folks out of Illinois.
Right.
You know, our corporate income tax, very few corporations are truly paying it. You know, our flat tax, if you got a good accountant, rich folks aren't paying as much as they should be. It's the backbone of the working class and the middle class people. We already got the answer. And the analysis showed it's not my opinion. So since that's the case, let's give us some things that we can utilize, you know, like even stadiums. I support stadium development, but that's for a segment of folks. Public airports, these large projects, I'm talking that's going to be used globally by everybody. Airports, let's go hard. Let's spend the money. We don't want to shortchange airport. Let's not shortchange the public transit system. Those two things cannot be shortchanged. And I think that's what we have the demand.
End of May. Are we going to make it? Are we going to get this done by the end of May?
I would certainly hope so. Again, back to 3 weeks is an awful long time to get things done in Springfield. I would say back to the first two comments, which was how do communities benefit? I mean, you're spending 2 hours on this show talking about public transportation, right? That in and of itself is a win. The last time major reforms were done in the state of Illinois was 2008. Yeah. So nearly 20 years ago was the last time really public transportation was put under a microscope, and there was some pretty large reforms back in 2008. Nothing like is what is being discussed today. I mean, what is being discussed today is major under the microscope reforms, some of which I would agree with, some of which I don't necessarily agree with, but I'm willing to live with for the sake of moving the conversation forward so that we can get to this world-class transportation system that we should be looking at. But it is striking when you look at the state of Illinois, when you overlay other countries, over the United States. It is striking at the lack of public transportation availability in this country. People lose sight of the fact that in the city of Chicago and in the RTA district, we have, as Keith would say, one of the most world-class public transportation systems that literally exists in this country, that you could put up against other public transportation systems in other countries. We can always make it better, but it takes money and it takes an investment. I think we're ready to do that, as Leader Evans says, right? Like, we've got $80 billion that we're working with right now. We may need more. I don't know yet. I think we probably do in order to fully fund this type of a system for safety, security, integration, all the things that we want to do. I mean, if the bill gets done like everybody wants, which is a world-class, put it up against anything, anywhere, it's going to cost some more money. So we've got 3 weeks to finish getting to work. We got 3 weeks to get, hopefully, bipartisan support. We've got 3 weeks to get the governor's office to continue to work with us and alongside of us to get this done. And if everybody is moving in that direction, and I think they are, right, we got 3 weeks to do it. And I think we can get it done. The term everyone uses is priority.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that between now and May 31st, we continue the drumbeat that public transportation is a priority in the state of Illinois. We've got to, you know, promote that in a bipartisan manner, in a bicameral manner with the governor's office, that it has to be a priority. And unfortunately, in the last nearly 20 years since the last reforms in 08, we've forgotten. And then the pandemic hit, right? And it even got worse, right? Yeah. Ridership went down, and people started asking the question, why does that train still run? Why is that bus still going? And it's like, A, there's people working on those, and B, the couple people that use this, they depend on it.
Where else can they go? What should they do? Like, just somebody's listening on the radio, who should they call? Call your state rep.
Definitely reach out to your elected officials. Let them know.
And if you want updates on where we're at and things that we're asking people to do, you can check out the CFL and the Illinois AFL-CIO social media, at Chicago Labor, at IL-AFL-CIO, and keep up to date on what we're doing as the Labor Alliance for Public Transit moves the campaign forward to a great win and result for everybody by May 31st.
On the website's UnitedWeMoveIL.org for more information. It's a huge issue, and we'll continue to cover it here on WGN as we approach the deadline on May 31st for the budget debate that happens down in Springfield. Thanks for tuning into this special edition of Your Money Matters, 2 full hours. John Landecker next after news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.